This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, a busy, busy time here in Washington, D.C. Not only is it Cherry Blossom Festival time, but a lot of other stuff happening. The Senate is inching closer to using the so-called nuclear option to confirm Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. National security experts, in the meantime, are focused on another nuclear option, North Korea, where dictator Kim Jong-un fired another ballistic missile earlier today. Retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, FRC Senior Vice President, will join me just in a moment for that conversation. And will Susan Rice, the former National Security Advisor, be brought before Congress to answer questions about whether or not she used intelligence reports for political purposes? I'll ask Ohio Congressman Brad Winstrup, a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Also, negotiations are still going on between the various parties on the repeal of Obamacare. Are they getting closer? I'll let South Carolina Congressman Mark Sanford, a member of the House Freedom Caucus, answer that question. A lot coming up here on Washington Watch, including a little bit later, we'll get to your phone calls. If you happen to miss anything, and this is breaking news, stuff that's happening right now here in your nation's capital, if you miss it, you can find it all tonight at TonyPerkins.com. We archive all of our programs right there at TonyPerkins.com. Also, love to have you join us the end of July, 1st of August, as we go on a cruise to Alaska. We'll have a great time of not just seeing the beauty of Alaska, but we'll also have the opportunity to talk with individuals like my next guest, General Boykin, Ken Blackwell, Michelle Bachman, and many, many more. So find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, North Korea has fired yet another missile ahead of the U.S.-China summit taking place this weekend in Palm Beach, Florida. This guy's unhinged. And really, it's become an increasing problem for the United States and for this administration. It is now right in front of Donald Trump as to what he's going to do with North Korea. Joining us now to discuss this further is our own General Jerry Boykin. He is the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council, former commander of the U.S. Army's Elite Delta Force. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, this is a serious problem facing us on the international frontier when you look at what's happening in North Korea. How big of an issue is this before the president, and does he have to address it?
He has no option but to address it. It's a huge issue. This is an existential threat because this is nuclear. And, you know, the most senior defector that has ever defected from North Korea to South Korea is a guy named Dae Young-ho, who was the assistant ambassador in London when he defected to South Korea. And he just told NBC News, Lester Holt, that Kim Jong-il, or Kim Jong-un, is prepared to use a nuclear weapon against America if he feels at all threatened. Now, that is a very serious situation because one nuclear weapon, given today's technology, could be absolutely devastating within quite a distance around it. And you've got a man that is absolutely certifiably crazy sitting on an arsenal of maybe as many as five nuclear warheads.
And, of course, he has deployed about 1,000 short-range missiles, which obviously are clearly a threat to South Korea, including in that region U.S. military bases. So this, and he has said that he will use them and is almost taunting the United States with these continued launches, which violate the UN Security Council resolution.
Yeah, and he cares nothing about the UN Security Council resolutions. He's not interested, pays no attention to them, and he does what he wants to do. But here is a man, what really makes him dangerous is the same thing that made Saddam Hussein dangerous, and that is that he only hears what he wants to hear. And the people that he surrounds himself with, if they don't tell him what he wants to hear, at best, they are forced out of his administration, but at worst, they're killed, to include his own family members. And this guy has been probably, I think it's safe to say, repeatedly assured that he could use a nuclear weapon against U.S. or allied targets there without any retaliatory consequences. And I think if you listen to this defector and what he has actually said, I think the guy is, I think he's nailed it. This is a very unstable situation. To his credit, Donald Trump says, I own it now and I have to do something about it. But let me just throw in as a final thought on this, that this should have been dealt with 25 years ago when Bill Clinton was negotiating this. And the rhetoric that we heard out of Bill Clinton at that time is exactly what we've heard out of the Obama administration today regarding Iran. And it looks to me like history is repeating itself. And where we are today is where my grandchildren are going to be at in another probably less than 25 years this time, probably a decade.
So, General Boykin, as you consider the options that would be before President Donald Trump, what would be your recommendation on those options, and what would be the priority of those options?
Yep, I see four options, Tony. The least favorable, I think, would be a preemptive military strike, although that is, it has to be an option. Go after his command and control, his storage sites, his production facilities, et cetera, as a military strike. Secondly is take Kim out. If you have to hire a surrogate and take him out, that would be my second least favorite. The third is to create an internal insurgency that would ultimately destabilize him, a coup, bring him down. That was almost impossible in a society that is as closed as they are. And then the final one is go to the Chinese, make an all-out effort, diplomatic effort to get the Chinese to deal with Kim, bring him down, get him out of the office, and establish a regime in there that is more stable and more functional than what they have right now. I think the Chinese option is one we ought to be pursuing with great fervor, and I suspect that we are.
It was interesting when Secretary of State Tillerson was asked about this latest launch from North Korea. Tillerson, very short statement, North Korea, quote, North Korea launched yet another intermediate range ballistic missile. United States has spoken enough about North Korea. We have no further comment. That would suggest that maybe the United States has finished talking about North Korea.
Well, first of all, what does that mean, finish talking about North Korea? I suspect that there are, in fact, a number of diplomatic efforts going on, either directly with China or through intermediaries. There are certainly diplomatic negotiations are taking place with South Korea as well as Japan. So I think that there is no option not to talk about North Korea anymore. But I hope that we're able to persuade allies in the region and even China, who we have never considered to be necessarily an ally,
right,
to persuade them to step forward and take action. And as you and I discussed previously, Tony, China was holding Kim Jong-un's brother in a safe place for the eventuality that he would be brought back into Korea to replace Kim Jong-un. He's the one that was killed in Kuala Lumpur when they spread VX on his face. But that was the great hope of China, that ultimately they would find a way to bring Kim down and they would put the brother back in, because the brother was far more stable and reasonable, and he was also China-friendly. So I think the Chinese, their primary option has been overcome by events. But I also think that Chinese have huge interest, global interest, in making sure that North Korea does not start another global conflict, and one that will reverberate throughout the Pacific Rim in particular.
Well, let's hope so. I do think the United States has finished talking about, at least I think, the Trump administration, and they're ready to take action as opposed to the previous administration that was all talk, or as they would say in Texas, all hat, no cattle. So maybe we'll see a little bit this time. Let's shift gears very quickly. General Boykin, I want to bring up another topic in the news today on the international scene, security issue, the conflict in Syria, where we now see the use of chemical weapons in Syria. This has become even more problematic in that region of the world. Another problem that I believe is going to be incumbent upon this administration to deal with.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that they are going to have to deal with this. And remember that this was the red line for Barack Obama. If Bashar al-Assad or his military was to use chemical weapons, that would be the red line, and America would have to act. Of course, there was no follow-through on that, but this is not the first time that chemical weapons have been used. Now, to be perfectly clear, every time they use nuclear weapons, it's not altogether clear which side it actually is.
I mean, chemical weapons.
Yeah. What's that? I mean, chemical weapons. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, chemical weapons. It's not clear which side actually used them because the ISIS forces there have actually captured portions of Bashar al-Assad's stockpile. So there have been some fairly reliable reports that they've used those chemical weapons themselves and tried to make it look like Bashar al-Assad. But nonetheless, you've still got a stockpile of chemical weapons there. And Tony, I think that may have been what you and I saw the Israelis hitting as we were standing on the border last year of Syria over in Israel. We were standing on that border, and there was a preemptive strike there. There were reports that came out of that was a movement or a shipment of chemical weapons that they were preempting. And there have been other reports to that effect as well. So what Trump is left with is, how do you deter this kind of behavior from Bashar al-Assad? Russia is their strongest ally. Russia is protecting Bashar al-Assad because they have a huge interest in their naval base at Tartus. They have huge interest in that region from an economic perspective, and also from a security perspective, because that is the security of their southern border, Syria, Iran, that whole area across there. So I think Trump is going to really be challenged by how he approaches the Russians, because they've got to be engaged and involved in whatever we ultimately decide to do with regards to Bashar al-Assad and his chemical weapons. The Russians have got to be part of that. They've at least got to be warned of, you know, if we intend to do a preemptive strike, because the proximity to Russian troops is always a key factor.
Right.
But if they use a chemical weapon on American troops that are stationed there, as far as I'm concerned, the gig is up. They need to make a parking lot out of Damascus.
Well, it is clear that President Trump has a lot on his plate going forward, both on the domestic side, which we're going to talk about in a moment, but also foreign policy-wise. General, as always, great to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, folks, don't go away. Coming up next, some believe former National Security Advisor Susan Rice may have committed a crime. We'll talk about it with Congressman Brad Winstrup. Don't go away.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the media telling you what to think? It is difficult to sort out what is true and what is false in the news. That's why Family Research Council President Tony Perkins writes a daily newsletter called The Washington Update. This daily email newsletter analyzes the most important events and topics at the forefront of the battles for religious liberty, the protection of life, and the defense of natural marriage, not only in Washington, but around the country. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from the latest election season news to underreported stories about both setbacks and successes in the fight for religious liberty, the sanctity of life, and marriage. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Visit frc.org/washington-update today to learn more and subscribe. Again, that's frc.org/Washington-update.
America's primed for change. In Washington, a new administration is in place, and opportunity is the new buzzword in the nation's capital. The question is, what will we do with the moment that's before us? What changes can conservatives make to undo the past 8 years? Join us at the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., where you'll be informed and mobilized to protect religious liberty, champion life, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. This action-packed conference is one you won't want to miss. Past speakers at the event include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Senators Ted Cruz and Tim Scott, Speaker Paul Ryan, Michelle Bachmann, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Sean Hannity, Phil Robertson, and many more. Mark your calendar for October 13th through 15th and join us in Washington. Register now at the early bird rate of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
It's no secret that many members of the media are clueless where it comes to the essential role religion plays in our society. At a time when faith and religious liberty are the subject of much debate, this is a big cause for concern. This lack of understanding raises the question, can politics and current events be written about without the aid of religious context? Can the American media faithfully carry out its duty to tell the whole story if it does not grasp the rich culture of faith that surrounds its content? In an important talk, Michael Cromarty of the Ethics and Public Policy Center uses as his foundation the idea that there is hardly any story in the news today that is not somehow related to religion. Using his unique perspective on the American media's interaction with matters of faith, he also delves into the practical way in which his Faith Angle Forum is helping to bridge the media and religion divide. Visit frc.org/mediaandreligion to view this talk and many more. That's frc.org/mediaandreligion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. A lot happening here. Busy week. Things happening in the Senate. Things happening in the House. Things happening everywhere. In fact, I was at the White House earlier today. I'll talk about that later. But the King of Jordan was there meeting with the president. So the president certainly has his plate full. But I want to talk now about some news that has been breaking here in the last couple of days. In recent days, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice has denied that she played any role in the use of classified intelligence for political purposes. Now, media outlets like CNN, the fake news headquarters, are downplaying the importance that Rice potentially unmasked. That means that there's American citizens who got caught up in kind of this intelligence net. Their identities are supposed to be hidden. Well, she unmasked those, and they were identities of Trump campaign officials. Where might this lead? Could we see Congress calling the former National Security Advisor before them to answer questions about what she did and why she did it and who got that information? With us now is Brad Winstrup, Congressman from Ohio's 2nd District. He is a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Congressman, thank you for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
How concerned are you over these reports that the former security advisor, National Security Advisor for President Obama, may have been misusing intelligence reports?
Well, we take any situation like this obviously very seriously. It is our job to have oversight in the intelligence community and protection of the privacy of U.S. citizens is to be paramount and is to be respected. And so you described the process, I think, pretty well there, Tony, as I was listening to you. And it is legal to collect intelligence from foreign to foreign, and sometimes when foreign officials are involved. During those types of conversations, one, it may be a conversation with a U.S. citizen, or a U.S. citizen may be discussed. Unless there is some foreign intelligence value from the person being discussed, or any foreign intelligence value at all, if there's not any, then it's just discarded. If there's some foreign intelligence value, then you may keep it, but you mask the name of the U.S. citizen unless there's some really significant reason. There are certain people that can ask to unmask the name of the U.S. citizen, and that's what we're hearing about here. The question is, why were you unmasking, and what was the purpose and reason behind the unmasking? And then, obviously, of grave concern is the leaks that follow some of these situations. And since I've been here, Tony, I am so concerned, you know, from the security standpoint of our country, about leaks. And there just seems to be that there are people that think that leaks are just okay. And guess what? They're not. And they're not because they jeopardize people's privacy. They jeopardize the lives of those that serve out in the field. And so this is a very serious matter. We do want to get to the truth on this and all the other things that are being talked about, you know, with Russia and Russian involvement possibly with the Trump team, although we've seen no evidence. But we want to get to the bottom of all these accusations. And in this case, this had nothing to do with Russia whatsoever.
So do you anticipate that Susan Rice may be called to testify before Congress?
Well, I would hope that she would volunteer to come and speak to the committee and provide us with her explanation of these reports. I think that it's something like that needs to happen at some point in the game. But I hope that she would volunteer and come and talk to the committee. You know, all of this really it's raising more questions than it answers right now, but I think that it is very interesting. I think that the call for Chairman Nunes to recuse himself is uncalled for because he hasn't done anything that requires recusal. And this is a select committee. The chairman serves at the pleasure of the speaker. Speaker Ryan has confidence in Chairman Nunes to continue the investigation. And we need to do that in a professional fashion and not turn it into some kind of media circus that distracts us from the real issue. I kind of grew up with the black and white Superman shows. They always started off with truth, justice, and the American way, right? And that's all I'm after.
Right.
That's all I'm after in all these situations. And if there was wrongdoing, the American people deserve to know it, and we should take action.
Well, Congressman Winthrop, let me ask you another question, because this was not just about the transition team. This happened actually before he was the nominee, so it suggests it was happening in the primary campaign. Do we know if there were any other candidates who were caught up in this web of surveillance that were unmasked by Rice or the Obama administration?
I don't know that at this time, and I don't know that your time frame on that is exactly correct, whether it was before or after the nomination was complete.
Certainly, unless it was just targeted toward the Trump team, which, as you recall, there was the left, the Democrats, did not think that Donald Trump was going to be president. So why they had him, why they were interested in this information is quite intriguing to me.
Right, but then again, I'm not so certain that this was all done before his nomination.
Well, certainly it was. There were some afterwards, but the timelines that I've seen on is that it started before he had the nomination, if the reports I saw were correct.
Well, that's the things we have to look into, right? I mean, was this done before the election? Was it done after the election? Where and exactly how was it done? Who was involved with it? So, like I said, this raises a lot
right.
more questions than answers at this point, and you bring up some good questions, and those are the things we want to get answers to. So I appreciate you bringing that up because those are very good questions.
Well, I hope when you guys look into it, we can get you back on to help us understand better what took place and how we keep this from happening in the future.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate you having me on today.
All right, Congressman Winthrop, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Look forward to talking to you real soon.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right. Well, we'll continue to track that. I think there's a lot behind that. A lot. All right, coming up next, Congressman Mark Sanford of South Carolina will be here with an update on the latest in the health care negotiations with the Trump administration and the Freedom Caucus. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to be taking your phone calls. That's still to come here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. A lot more coming. If you need to take a break, go check out TonyPerkins.com, then come right back. Right back.
America's primed for change. In Washington, a new administration is in place, and opportunity is the new buzzword in the nation's capital. The question is, what will we do with the moment that's before us? What changes can conservatives make to undo the past 8 years? Join us at the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C., where you'll be informed and mobilized to protect religious liberty, champion life, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. This action-packed conference is one you won't want to miss. Past speakers at the event include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Senators Ted Cruz and Tim Scott, Speaker Paul Ryan, Michelle Bachmann, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Sean Hannity, Phil Robertson, and many more. Mark your calendar for October 13th through 15th and join us in Washington. Register now at the early bird rate of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
You are listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, as I mentioned, I was at the White House earlier today and also on Capitol Hill discussing various aspects of the Obamacare repeal. Now, it is clear that a vote will happen before the Easter recess, but the various parties are continuing to talk. But the question is, are they getting closer together? Joining us now with an update is Congressman Mark Sanford, represents the 1st Congressional District of South Carolina, and he's a member of the Freedom Caucus. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for letting me join you.
Well, let's just start with this. Where are we in terms of, I know the conservatives had a lot of concerns wanting to see the some things that we're going to, as we talked about with Mark Meadows yesterday, kind of the acid test that this thing was going to work, and that is reducing premiums. Are we getting closer to where we need to be, where we might see a repeal bill go forward?
I think so. I think that the context of where we are needs to be remembered. And that is, there's something fundamentally dangerous around picking a legislative date as a way of making for a great press release. You know, this thing was sort of built around the seven-year anniversary of the signing of the Affordable Care Act. And
right. While
it would have been a nice symbolic vote to have voted for repeal on the day it was signed, at the end of the day, I think we need to look at the larger context, and that is, how do we impact the premiums for folks in the individual healthcare marketplace? And two, how do we actually help people who have profound health needs? And that ought to drive what comes next rather than a particular date on the calendar. And the larger context is there were 17 legislative days that were allocated to this particular measure prior to the vote we were to have taken last Friday versus about 186 days for the Affordable Care Act and about 166 days for Medicare Part D that was pushed by President Bush. And so I think, you know, part of what's going on here is we've been trying to put a square peg in a round hole in jamming things to a certain date and a certain time frame, when in reality some of this just frankly takes time.
So you think stepping back now, you're going to have a break, members are going to go home for a couple of weeks, come back, revisit this. You think that's – I'm sure the conversations are going to continue during that process. Is that going to be helpful?
I think so. And again, somebody said, well, you know, you don't want to do this before you go home. And I'm said, are you kidding me? The idea of representative government is to hear from folks back home, hear what they like, hear what they don't like. And I think that if we're at some level fearing going back home for fear of what people might say about something we've signed in Washington, we're clearly doing something wrong. And so
good point.
I think that there is a value to going home, to be at the local chamber, to be at the local Rotary Club, talking to other business people, hearing what they're hearing, and visiting with folks, whether it be at the local hospital, local physicians. I mean, I think that there are a whole variety of different inputs that will come in over the next 2 weeks that will be of value in this debate.
So, Congressman Sanford, as these conversations have been going on, I mean, really for the last couple of weeks and intently here these last few days, has this been a positive exchange of ideas? As you know, I know there's conversations with the Vice President, members of the White House team, as well as the GOP leadership in the House. Has there been a good exchange of ideas?
Yeah. The old saying is, if you like sausage, don't watch it being made. And I think the same is absolutely true of the legislative process. It's been fruitful. I think it's been productive. There have been back and forth. Okay, this idea doesn't work. You know, when this thing first came out, as you may remember back at the beginning of March, at that point it was laid out. It was suggested by leadership that this was a binary choice. Take it or leave it. If you don't like this, you're for Nancy Pelosi. And our point was, no, wait a minute. I mean, you know, Donald Trump would never take the first bid on a real estate deal. This is simply the opening bid, and let's have now a conversation. Normally we do what's called markup, and we send a bill through, and people can offer amendments and say, I want to refine here, I want to add this, I want to subtract that. And there's a real value in making a bill better, in educating members, and frankly the public itself becoming educated about what might come next in healthcare that allows for the digestion of an idea in our open political system. And a lot of that got truncated, frankly, in some cases eliminated altogether by virtue of what was laid out. So I think that what has been going on has been productive. I think it's been necessary. And I think it's going to take a little bit more of it. And I think that, you know, a time frame of another month to get to a bill that I think works for people, I think would be a good thing. You know, if you think about insurance, if you had to buy $1.5 million policy for your $200,000 home, that wouldn't be insurance that works for you. It might be well designed by some expert engineer and knew everything in the world about insurance, but it probably wouldn't work well for you. And I think what we're trying to get to in this debate is to say, how do we have health insurance that works for the people that are buying it? And how do we have coverage for some of the folks that end up with a bad, you know, drawing a bad genetic lottery card or providence or God's will or a bad rack or whatever it might be. How do we cover both of those sides of the debate? And that, again, takes time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this. Of course, it's a very fluid process. We haven't seen the actual language of what might be next, but I do think we're in a much better spot because of the Freedom Caucus saying, hey, we got to slow this thing down. We've got to look at it more intently. And I do think we're at a better place, and hopefully we'll get to a place where we can see this repeal actually happen. So, Congressman, thanks so much for joining us. Great to talk with you. Look forward to seeing you up on the Hill again real soon.
Yes, sir. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Congressman Mark Sanford of South Carolina. Find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. We're going to talk about, you know, what's happening on the international scene. You know, President Obama, President Trump, has his hands full because of what President Obama left him. How tough is he going to have to be with North Korea?
It's happening everywhere, and not just in blue states. Radical LGBT activists are forcing potentially dangerous policies on schools, businesses, and other public places, violating the safety and privacy of women and threatening religious freedom. How can churches help protect their community and be a voice for the vulnerable on these issues? What can state legislators do to push back against local ordinances and federal efforts to allow men into girls' showers, restrooms, and locker rooms? What can parents and voters do? In a special one-hour program, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, and others, including experts and victims, to talk about what some states are doing to protect the safety and privacy of women and children and to defend the freedom to believe. Visit frc.org/privacy to view this event and many more.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join me, my wife, Luana, along with General Jerry Boykin and other special guests on our first ever Free to Believe Alaska cruise from July 29th to August the 5th. We'll sail from Seattle on Holland America's luxurious MS Yuridam, known for impeccable five-star service and incomparable cuisine. Some of the most breathtaking beauty in God's creation will surround you as you rest, relax, and worship. You'll witness stunning wildlife and the majestic scenery of Glacier Bay and relive Gold Rush history and classic frontier towns. And you'll hear the latest updates from Washington on the new administration and Congress. Come fellowship with other like-minded believers and journey with us on a vacation that will enrich your body, mind, and soul. For more information, call 844-872-5155 or visit TonyPerkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that is 844-872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
In America, we now confront a crisis of governance created by our Supreme Court. Since the New Deal, the Supreme Court has become an almost unchallengeable, unreviewable super legislature by silencing all debate on pressing social issues like abortion and same-sex marriage. This is why the vacancy created by the death of Justice Antonin Scalia must be filled with someone who will return the Supreme Court to its proper function as law interpreter, not lawmaker. That's why the nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch, who has a proven track record of ruling as a constitutional originalist, has pleased conservatives. Upon confirmation, Judge Gorsuch will be faced with a host of pressing legal issues, and it is important to understand how he will rule and why. For an in-depth issue analysis discussing the type of justices who should sit on our highest court and a full explanation of Judge Gorsuch's qualifications for that role and why he should be confirmed, visit frc.org/Gorsuch.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Let me just remind you folks that this program is made possible because of folks like you. We're here in Washington, but we don't get any money from Washington. We don't get any government money. We're all supported 100% by folks like you across this country that are concerned about faith, family, and freedom. Now, this radio program is just really the tip of the iceberg of what the Family Research Council does here in Washington. We've got a team of about 80 people. We have policy experts that work day in and day out to craft public policy, shape it, that we can then take to the Hill through our government affairs team that's on the Hill every day lobbying, working with members of Congress, their staff, working now with the White House. We have a church ministries team. Over 40,000 churches that we're connected with across the country, about 13,000 what we call watchman pastors that are actively engaged with us, all of that taking place here, and it's all supported by folks like you. So if you'd like to know more about how you can be a part of partnering with the Family Research Council, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Love to have your support. Love to have you as a listener. And by the way, be sure and share with your friends. There's plenty of us to go around. So go ahead and share with your friends. Get them to tune in to Washington Watch every afternoon as we bring you the latest, not just our commentary and thoughts, but as you know, if you're a frequent listener, we have the newsmakers. We have the people themselves that are right there in the midst. As I mentioned, I was at the White House today discussing, a way forward on this Obamacare repeal. Then went to the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol to meet with the Majority Whip to discuss that and budget issues. And so very busy time in Washington, D.C., but a very promising time. We have a clear opportunity to undo some of the damage that has been done by the Obama administration. We have what I think is a reprieve where, and it's not just political, but there's also the moral reconstruction that needs to take place. And of course, that's rooted in our spiritual bearings and understanding. And this is a time for the church. And one thing that I have an appreciation for, of course, working with the Trump administration to do more of is protect religious freedom. But the fact that he is challenging the fake news and he's challenging the elitist and, you know, that want to silence those who have, you know, views like you and me, views that, you know, there's just two genders, male and female, as Jesus said. You know, have you not read from the beginning that God created them male and female? People that believe that, like President Obama actually believed in his first term of office, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. So this is a time for us to speak up and speak out, to be bold, to be courageous, not to shrink back in the shadows or grow silent or be fearful. And that's the reprieve we've been given. But we've got to change policy. And part of that policy, and I'm going to open up the phone lines here, we'll talk about we can talk about anything we've talked about today. We can talk about the Obamacare repeal. We can talk about what's happening with Susan Rice. We can talk about what on the international scene, the mess that has been made by the Obama administration. It really is. This is a very, very difficult situation. 866-372-7234. Open up the phone line. So if you you want to comment on today's topics, got a question, go ahead and call in. We'll take them all on today. All right. But back to the point about the situation internationally that has been left by the Obama administration. Very complex. In fact, Nikki Haley today was speaking before the United Nations. She's the UN ambassador, actually governor of South Carolina. She was saying she wants to know how many more children must die under the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, before Russia cares. Speaking before the UN Security Council today, Haley said yesterday's chemical weapons attack in Syria that killed over 80 people, quote, bears the hallmarks of the Assad regime, end quote. Now, Haley held up pictures of dead children and said Russia cannot escape responsibility by backing Assad and providing him with weapons. Now, Russia says the attack was the result of gas leaking from the rebels' own chemical weapons depot after it was hit by Syrian government airstrikes. Now, you know, we've got to find out exactly who did it, where it came from. But as we said earlier with the general, there's a track record of the Assad regime doing this type of thing to their own people. This is complex. And then, of course, you add North Korea into this. As John McCain says, a crazy fat kid who has nuclear weapons. And, of course, you got China to deal with. How tough do you think Donald Trump should be on the international stage? Now, there are some, and I'd like to know your thoughts. 866-372-7234. How tough should he be? Should he stand up to North Korea? Should we deal with North Korea? Should we deal with what's happening in Syria? Obviously, I think everyone would agree we've got to be wherever ISIS lifts up his head, we've got to be like the whack-a-mole and just knock him down. But, you know, some support more of an isolationist view that we just need to let the rest of the world go. But can we really do that? Does Donald Trump need to take action? You heard what General Boykin laid out, the options that are before, as he sees it, before the Trump administration in dealing with North Korea, either preemptive military strike, taking out Kim Jong-un, or a internal coup, or, of course, negotiations with China to get China to rein him in. Because he's really, I mean, he's held up by China. It would be nice if, you know, we lived in a world in which we could just kind of focus on our own thing and do our own thing and not worry about it. But we are the target, and American interests are the target. And this guy's made him very clear, doesn't like America, and is basically taunting the United States to take action, to do something, so that he can have his day on the world stage. And I think he's also, I think he's concerned about what happened with some of these other dictators like Gaddafi, who essentially disarmed himself. I mean, he was pursuing nuclear weapons. The United States worked with him. He got rid of the nuclear weapons, but then was overthrown. And so I think the part of the pursuit that Kim Jong-un has for pursuing these nuclear weapons and capabilities is he wants to protect himself and basically be a player on the international stage. Of course, a country that is living under basically third world conditions, poverty-stricken nation. What is our responsibility? Should we deal with that? Or should we let them alone? I think we would be very careful, but I would suggest that we can't just leave them alone. I think we are affected by them and threatened by them, and of course our allies are threatened by them as well. So I think we have to deal with them. My recommendation, of course, Trump administration is going to do what they take their own pursuit, but I think the diplomatic route should be the first one, trying to get China to rein him in. But then I do think that they've got to deal with this guy. So anyway, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. And let's say we're going to go to the phone lines. Hold on just a second. Let me give that number, 866-372-7234. You may have seen this, Target, another series of Peeping Tom events at the Target stores. This one in Palatine, Illinois, where another one of those voyeurism cases took place, coincides with Target stocks reaching a two-year low. That their stock just keeps diving. What is crazy about this is they fail to recognize, or they know it, they just won't admit it, that it's their policy of the gender-neutral changing rooms, allowing men into women's dressing rooms and vice versa, that's driving this or allowing these predators to come in. But yet they don't want to admit that. Insanity. Okay. Now, I'm ready to go to the phone lines. Let's go to Missouri, where Raquel is on the line. Raquel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me? I'm driving in the rain.
Well, drive very carefully, but yes, I can hear you.
I am. I was just calling in regards to your comment about whether or not President Trump should, take care of international affairs and how important it is. I did a tour in Korea, and I understand the importance of, protecting our borders or our international, interests. But I do think that taking care of our country first is most important, but also at the same time letting outside of our country, international, know that we are keeping an eye on them. And, we will deal with them if we have to.
I think it's very important that they, it's kind of walk softly or talk softly and carry a big stick. I mean, they need to know if they cross the line, America will take action. That's not been the case in the last 8 years, and I think that makes for a very dangerous world, as we've seen in the Middle East, where, we've seen genocide, Christian genocide, Yazidis, all at the hands of ISIS, because, quite frankly, the United States was all talk. Raquel, thanks so much for the call, and thank you for your service to our country.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, drive safely and keep those wipers
going.
All right, let's keep going here. Let's go to Tennessee, where Keith is on the line. Keith, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. I just wanted to say I think we need to be very cautious about the information we're getting out of Syria. And the reason I'm suspicious is there seems to be a peculiar fixation in Trump's among Trump's enemies to keep us from improving our relationship with Russia. And I think they're doing their darndest to drive a wedge or make any type of detente impossible. And this could be a false flag. It could be exactly what has been reported, that a government bomb hit a rebel stockpile of chemical gas. You know, it's not as if Assad is the only one who has had chemical gas over there.
Correct.
And it would be perfect right in their playbook to set this up, because they, one of them recently said that Trump is going to start a war in order to draw attention away from his domestic problems and problems, purported problems with the election. And this would fit right into their narrative if they can draw the United States into some type of ground war in Syria. So I would be particularly cautious about this situation. I think there's nothing to be lost by having a better relationship with Russia. We don't need to be escalating tensions, and we also, need to be very careful about how we respond to things like this.
Right.
I think
right.
Well,
as
reaction is, not necessarily the best one.
Right. Well, as General Boykin said earlier in the program, he said, the ISIS also was able to get some of these chemical weapons, so we don't know exactly where it came from. So you're absolutely right. I think you have to verify before you take any action on that. There clearly are those that would, want to trip up President Trump in this whole process, especially when it comes to Russia. But we've got to be, we really cannot go. We're not in a position to go toe-to-toe with Russia at this point, nor obviously China. Part of our challenge in any type of military activity is the condition of our military from a material standpoint. I mean, of course, there's a morale standpoint, too, under the social experimentation that this previous administration put our military through. They're just not ready. And so we've got to be very careful.
Korea is another possible trap. You know, if we go to the Chinese and say rein in North Korea, they're going to say, what's in it for us?
Yeah.
And what they want to be in it for them is that there'd be no action against all this flood of cheap Chinese imports that have put so many American manufacturing jobs
That's true.
Out of business.
That's true. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it, Keith. Have a great afternoon. Again, complex issues facing us as a nation, in particular this administration, domestic, foreign, a reminder of the need we have to pray for our country, for our president, for the vice president, for our Congress, for our men and women who are serving in our nation's military. And these are challenging times filled with lots of obstacles. All right, folks. We're back again tomorrow night, Lord willing, and hope you will as well. Until then, as you know, the Apostle Paul says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.